I want to call your attention tonight to book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at three verses of Scripture in this particular passage, verses 16 through 18, as we take up a subject tonight that we don't often preach on. We should preach on, I think, more often, but it's certainly a subject that we should address in our hearts and life, and that is the meaning and purpose of fasting. The meaning and purpose of fasting. I want to read the Word of God here, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to look at these three verses tonight as we consider this subject of fasting. Verse 16, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have tonight to gather together as a church family around thy precious word. And Lord, as we look at this subject in your word concerning fasting, we pray that you would give us open hearts and open ears to receive the testimony that you have for us tonight. We thank you, Father, that there can be a closeness in the Christian life, that there can be a drawing nigh to Thee through this element of fasting, whereby we get serious about important things in our life. For we seek to know Your will. We seek to have Your provision in a particular need. And Lord, we would ask, dear Father, that You would give us an openness to understand this important subject of fasting. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There is much that is going on in the realm of fasting these days. Just this past weekend, the time period for the Muslims known as Ramadan ended, which was a period of fasting. The Islamic people fast all day long, and then after midnight they have a period of 6 hours in which they can eat or whatever, and then they go back at 6 in the morning, and then they have their fasting over a period of a month. 1.5 billion Muslims were fasting this year, according to the statistics that I read online, commemorating the revelation of the Quran. All of that fasting, all of that doing without, meant absolutely nothing, because it was a religious practice and it was not to the true God of the Bible. Isn't that sad? All of that labor, all that intensity of so-called thanking Allah for the revelation that had been given to Muhammad, a thousand years ago, and yet it was all for naught. There is literature out there today that says that fasting is how God intended for Christians to stay healthy and fit. There are now at least three different diet plans for Christians in which fasting is a part of that. And they said that was the purpose in the Scriptures for fasting, was to stay fit and healthy. I don't think that was the purpose, but that's what some have used it for in today. Campus Crusade, for instance, has a 7-step program to successful fasting and prayer. There are whole schools of thought on how we miss God's best in every area of life when we do not fast. I want to ask you the question, are these programs and schools of thought biblical? Well, if you don't study the Bible, you won't know, will you? So important that we undertake this subject. There are some dispensationalists who say that fasting is not at all for the church age. Often it is said that because it is not mentioned in the book of Ephesians, it is therefore for Israel only. However, from Acts 10 through 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it's mentioned 7 times. The Christians, early Christians, practiced fasting. So that really doesn't hold water in that regard. As a matter of fact, 71 times in the Scripture, fasting is referred to. Now, one of the texts that has moved me the most in regard to the subject of fasting is found here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. The thing that has gripped me the most are these words, "And whenever you fast." And whenever you fast. It does not say if you fast, but rather when you fast. Jesus Christ assumed that fasting was a good thing and that it would be done by His disciples. This is what we find in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 15. Don't turn over there, just listen as I read. "And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they," what? "Fast." Then shall they fast. Very interesting that that was put in relationship to the Christ ascension back up into heaven. Then shall they fast. So Jesus Christ is not teaching on whether we should fast or not. He is assuming that we will fast and teaching us how to do it, and especially how not to do it. Matter of fact, there's more said about how not to do it than there is on how to do it. I think that's important to note as well. Now, understanding that we have been given no commandment to fast, but for believers today, there is a real value in fasting. It should be done with the idea that we are prostrating ourselves before God because we are in need of His mercy and of His help. This is the thought behind fasting. Now, I want to say it again. There's no commandment for fasting. Thou shalt fast. No, not at all. It is of the voluntary free will of a believer's heart to want to grow close to the Lord and beseech Him and seek His face, maybe over a particular matter. Maybe it's over health, or maybe it's over a situation in the family, or maybe it has to do with a crisis in a church that needs to be dealt with, and they want God's hand of direction, and the people come together and they determine by God's grace we're going to seek Him, and we're going to do without until we hear from heaven in this particular regard. Now, I want to begin first of all with the danger in fasting. A danger in fasting. You may think you know where I'm going with this, but wait just a moment. Maybe I will not be going how you think on this. If fasting is going to be built into our lives as a way of seeking all of the fullness of God, we need to know how not to do it. That would include physical tips on how not to endanger our bodies. It is foolish for these individuals who go on these hunger strikes to somehow push society or push a government or push a church to make a certain decision by saying, "I'm not going to eat until we get this certain thing." That's not what fasting is about. You have a perverted understanding of what fasting is if you're using it to manipulate other people, or you're using it to manipulate a government, or you're using it to manipulate your family. "I'm going to go on this hunger strike until certain things change around here." You're not understanding. That's a danger with fasting. People say, "I'm not going to eat or drink or whatever." That puts your body in a physical danger, and that's foolish. We do know that Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights according to Exodus 34 and verse 28. That's the longest period that we find in the Scriptures. Our Lord Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days, we're told, in the New Testament. The people of Israel fasted for 7 days upon hearing of the deaths of Saul and Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse 13. They fasted for a week. David fasted for a day in 2 Samuel 12 and 16 as he sought the Lord concerning the baby that had been born to he and Bathsheba. He wanted to know, you know, what the Lord was going to do in regard to healing this child, and the Lord responded by taking the baby away, taking the life of the child. And the Bible says he got up and he washed himself and cleaned himself and went about the business because God had answered his prayer about what was to be done. Elijah fasted for 40 days and nights in 1 Kings 19 and verse 8 at Mount Horeb. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 16, the Jews fasted for 3 days and nights to seek God's protection against those intent on killing them. So we have a variety of different amounts of time for fasting that are mentioned in the Scripture. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ during His temptation. Now, there's a spiritual danger that I want to make you aware of as we consider the subject of fasting. Jesus Christ warns us what not to do and then tells us what to do instead. He warns us in verse 16 not to be like the hypocrites. Not to be like the hypocrites. "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Now here's the warning about the spiritual danger. There are those who want everybody else to know what religious practice they're doing. They want everybody to know that they're fasting. And so we find here that the hypocrite puts on a very sad countenance. Now naturally, when people see somebody that looks sad, if you're a genuine child of God that's concerned about other people, you're going to ask questions, right? You see someone walking around with, they've got their face all contorted in sadness, the first thing you're going to say, hey, what's wrong? What's going on in your life? Why is your face all twisted up? Well, brother, I'm glad you asked. Because I am fasting. That happened to me one time. I went up to an individual, this is about 25 years ago, and the individual, I mean, it looked like they were having a bad day. And I even toyed with the idea, maybe I shouldn't ask. Maybe I don't want to know what's going on. But the individual just looked so bad on the outward countenance, and I went up and I asked, is everything all right? I was unloaded upon. I've been fasting for days. I've been fasting for days and began to tell about all the things that were involved and what they were fasting for and so forth. Now listen, I'm not accusing that individual of being a hypocrite. But what I'm saying is this. No one should know. No one should notice. It shouldn't be worn on the outside as some type of a spiritual cloak that you're putting on, and you're kind of putting everybody on notice that I'm fasting. And you need to know that. That's not the idea at all. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ said to them, said, they had this sad countenance and they disfigure their faces. It's interesting, the Greek word there means to contort. To contort the face. In other words, it doesn't look natural. They're purposefully contorting the face so that people ask questions. Now, you know, we do things. We contort our faces during the day. You know, you get a phone call. I love to watch the secretary sometime when I'm sitting at my desk. The phone rings up at the desk, and you'll see them, and they'll be listening to somebody that's on the other end of the phone, and they'll contort their face. You know, they're intent on trying to figure out what it is this individual wants to have answered or whatever. And you see people contort their faces. You see children. In my Bible class, sometimes I'll announce the Bible verse and I'll see contortion of faces that we've got to memorize that long passage. You know, and they'll contort their face. But here's the picture of an individual that purposefully contorts or disfigures the face to draw people in so that they'll ask questions so they can tell real quick what they're doing. Because they want other people to know about what they are doing. Now, why do they do that? That they may appear unto men to fast. They want to look the part. They want to look the part. You know, it's sad today, but there are many people who try to look the part of a Christian when they don't possess the Holy Spirit of God in their heart. It is so sad today that we have so many people that put on, they do the right things, they say the right things, they put on the right clothes, they get the right kind of haircut, they do this, they do that or the other, because they want other people to think what? That they fit in. That they fit in with the group, with the church, or whatever the expectations of the church are. But let me tell you something, there's something more important. It's the inward heart. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. Listen, Christian, when you fast, nobody ought to see it on your face. Nobody ought to say, what's different about them? They've been looking pretty sad over the last day or so. Well, look at their face. No, you don't want to bring people to come to you to say, hey, what's going on in your life? Things don't look right. It should be something that's between you and the Lord in secret. That's the spiritual danger of trying to appear to men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They have their prize. Kids love prizes. Everybody likes prizes. We like instant gratification. Everything that we have in our homes these days is geared to instant gratification. I love my little coffee maker. I've set the time the night before. I go put my coffee grounds in there and I get the water all poured in there and I set it up, and at 6:20, things start gurgling in the kitchen. And whenever I go walking in there and I do my morning yawn or whatever, my cup of coffee is all ready to go. I like that. I don't have to go pour the coffee grounds in the morning time when I've got sleepy seed in my eyes and I can't see anything, you know, and you end up putting something else in there you're not supposed to, and end up with the ground something else. You know, I love the instant things that we have. I like microwaves. Boy, that's nice. Just to pop a plate in there, warm it up, you got dinner. All right? There are nice things about instant gratification. But when it comes to spiritual things, folks, spiritual things, sometimes it takes time. I think about Daniel. As he had prayed for 21 days for God to show him in regard to that mystery of that revelation of that vision that he had had, and finally 21 days later, the answer comes, and the angel tells Daniel, said, listen, the message, your answer to your prayer was sent 21 days ago. And I had to fight the devil. I had to do battle in order to come and share with you what the vision was going to be. Sometimes in the spiritual realm, folks, things take time. They have to develop to work in our hearts and life. And this matter of fasting is where we get serious with God. Maybe there's a particular need in your heart and life, and just between you and the Lord, just between you and the Lord, you say, Lord, I'm willing to do without some food, that I might be able to get closer to you, and that you might undertake an answer or undertake in my particular situation whereby I might be able to gain your mercy and your grace. Now, few things are more gratifying to our flesh when we exercise ourselves in religious activities. Fallen people like religious accomplishments. However, religious accomplishments mean nothing if they are done to achieve self-righteousness or self-gratification. Well, we walk around and pat ourselves on the back and say, well, I made it through 3 days of fasting. Well, you missed the whole point. It wasn't about the time. It wasn't about, you know, some kind of an accomplishment, but rather drawing close to the Lord and seeking His face and wanting answers from God. That's the point. That's the danger that's involved. Now, why is this, and what these individuals did, these hypocrites, why is this considered to be hypocrisy? Well, isn't the definition of hypocrisy trying to look on the outside different than you are on the inside? Now, these individuals contorted their and disfigured their faces. Did they accomplish a purpose about what was in their heart? Well, actually, they did. Their disfigured face indicated a disfigured heart. Isn't that interesting? We gather that from the text here. These individuals had a disfigured heart, and it showed itself in a disfigured face, sad countenance. Oh, woe is me. Ask me a question so I can tell you why it's woe with me. And I can let you in so I can be self-gratified in this process that I'm going through. Now, what were the individuals seeking in their fasting? They wanted to look on the outside different from what they were on the inside. They fast and they look like they fast. But Jesus calls them hypocrites. Their heart that motivated their fasting is supposed to be a heart for God. But we find out from verse 16, it wasn't a heart for God, but rather a heart for man. A heart for man's attention to their particular religious accomplishment that they were seeking to perform. That is a serious danger. There are two dangers specifically that fasting folks fall into. Number one is that they are seeking the wrong reward in fasting, namely the esteem of other people. They love the praise of men. Now, we all love praise. There's nothing more encouraging to we'll use the girls' volleyball team. The girls' volleyball players, when they get out there and they make a very good play, I mean, they do a good setup and somebody comes in for a spike and they make a score. That's encouraging. You don't want to hear from the sideline, "That was terrible." Now, I've heard coaches like that. I mean, you could do the most outstanding play of the night, and the coach would be over there saying, "That was the worst spike I ever saw in my life. Well, whenever I was younger, you know, I used to do it this way, that way, you know." Now, there's nothing more discouraging to a team than to do something well and it not be recognized. Say, "Hey, do that again. That's the way I want it done. We've been practicing that way, and you did it that way. That's great. Let's do it again." You don't want to do it just one time. It's like, you know, the whole team, you know, calling timeout after the first basket and said, "All right, we're all done here. We got the ball in the basket." Or we go out there in the first pitch of the game, somebody hits a home run, everybody high five, and everybody runs over and grabs their bag and their bats and stuff and heads to the house. No, the game's not over. It's not all over with. No, you got work to do. You got to play all 9 innings or 7 innings or whatever it is for your game. Some people, they just want to be seen. If I can just be seen and I can tell a few people about what I'm doing, I'll feel good about myself. Now, wait a minute. That's seeking the wrong reward. You're seeking instant gratification rather than the reward of God's hand, which is the answer. The answer to your particular situation. Secondly, the other is that they hide their true purpose for fasting. They're hiding their true purpose. Folks, let me tell you something. It's treacherous for a Christian to try to deceive God. It's treacherous for a person to try to deceive men, but to think that you can deceive men and not somehow deceive God in the process is foolish. Fasting means hunger for God. However, in the hypocrite's heart, they are really hungry for admiration and approval from their peers. Now, those are the dangers that are involved in fasting. Now, Christ presents His way of fasting in verses 17 and 18. Now, folks, please understand, we should never come to the Word of God and say, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18 is not for us. It's not for us. It is for us. God's Word is for us. And we need to understand that fasting is mentioned over and over again as you go throughout the New Testament, 71 times in the Scriptures. Before the law was given, after the law was given, in the church age, we see this thread that goes through. It's not a command, but it is something that Jesus Christ encourages in this regard, and I want us to see that tonight. He presents His way of fasting. Verse 17, "But thou, when thou fastest." Now notice that's the second time that "when" has been used here. Verse 16, "Moreover, when ye fast." Verse 17, "But thou, when thou fastest." Not if, but when. In other words, it's something that Jesus Christ is presenting as something good for the child of God. Now there are all kinds of public fasting mentioned in the Scriptures. We could look at Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And Acts 14 and verse 23, we find that fasting is mentioned again in the early church. "If someone finds out that you are fasting, you haven't sinned." They may find out that you are fasting. That doesn't mean, "Oh no, the whole thing's off. I've sinned. Somebody found out." No, that's not the point that we're making here. It may well be that there are 3 or 4 people that have come together and they say, we really want to have the Lord's will done in a particular matter, and we're going to fast for a day or so. And they just come together not to pat each other on the back, but they genuinely desire an answer from God. That's all right. That's good. We see that. Public fasting in Acts 13 and Acts chapter 14. The value of your fasting is not destroyed when someone finds out that you're doing it. It is possible to fast with other people as long as all are not seeking to be seen of men. That's the point. They're not doing it to be seen of men. Being seen fasting and fasting to be seen are not the same thing. Can I say that again? Being seen fasting and fasting to be seen are not the same thing. Fasting to be seen is self-exalting. Being seen fasting just may be what happens when people come in. They may come in and you're in prayer or whatever, and they may find out, what are they doing in there? They're fasting. They're skipping their lunch meal because they want to get alone with the Lord. The purpose is this: but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee, how? Openly. He shall reward thee openly. Fast to be seen by God in secret, and God will reward thee openly. He'll undertake in your particular behalf. Now, what is Christ doing here? I think this is so important to understand. What is He emphasizing here? What is He doing here in this particular passage? Number one, He is testing our hearts to see if God Himself will be our sufficiency. Here is where we fail, Christians. We talk about God being our full sufficiency, but we have so organized our lives that we don't have to trust Him. That we don't have to depend upon Him. We've got everything just so organized, and we've got money in the bank, and we've got all this planned out, and we just have everything all laid out before the Lord. We don't have to trust Him. In this particular instance here, He's testing our hearts to see if God is truly our sufficiency. And I want to ask you that question tonight. I've asked myself this question: is God truly my sufficiency? Can I go to Him with everything, no matter how small it is? You know, we've used this illustration so many times, but when you go to a mall and try to find a parking spot, now that doesn't seem like a very big thing. But the older I get, it becomes a bigger thing. Now, you know, as a diabetic, my doctor told me, he said, when you go and park at a grocery store or you go to the mall, always park at the far end so you have to walk and get your exercise. And I said, Doc, I don't like that. I like to be up a little bit closer, all right? You know, if I can't see the truck from the door opening, you know, I'm a little bit concerned. Somebody may have already run off with it or whatever. Well, he said, park it out in the farthest point, and then you'll get your exercise, walking all the way back in. Now, it's nice when you drive through there and you find a parking spot. But I want to tell you something. The Walmart and Pace, there are no open parking spots. I mean, there's never any. And you have to pray for them. Lord, I'd like to have a little parking spot where I don't I'm not looking over the sunset, you know, to see the building. And you know, it's amazing. When you depend upon the Lord, He'll supply. I've seen Him do it so many times. Just simple things. Lord, I've got this issue today. Lord, my foot is killing me. Lord, would You give me some relief from that? I mean, just going to Him with it. If He's your sufficiency, there's not certain areas that you don't ask Him for and other areas that you do. For the child of God, we can bring every need before Him if we desire for His Son to be glorified. Amen? Anything, no matter how small, from a hangnail to anything, you can take it to the Lord in prayer. God's not offended. If you've got a sore toe and you say, Lord, I cannot concentrate on my job today. Lord, can You give me some relief? Now, if you haven't had the good sense to take an aspirin or to take an ibuprofen, then maybe the Lord's trying to teach you something. You know, there are some things that you can take that they've got a leave out there. Isn't a leave wonderful? You get 12 hours of pain-free day. I don't know if that's true. I've taken a couple of leave, and I've gotten maybe four or five, and it seems like, now, what happened to this thing? It was supposed to give me 12 hours of relief, you know, like they tell you on the television. But I want to say this. Our God is sufficient for everything, no matter how small. And so through fasting, God is testing us to see whether we're truly dependent on Him. I think some Christians need to do some fasting. We've become so self-dependent. We've become so trusting of our doctors. And we ought to be able to trust our doctors. But you know what? I found out just from personal experience that they don't know everything. I spent 2 years taking tablets, taking my pills, and I was a type 1 diabetic the whole time. I was supposed to be on insulin. And I said, Lord, something's got to give here. My numbers will not come down. I was doing, my doctor would grill me, are you running? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? Are you eating right? And I said, look at my sheet. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I've lost almost 30 pounds. What else can I do? And I realized that the doctor was limited, and so I had to go to a specialist. And when I walked into that specialist's office, thanks to the Smiths who directed me to Dr. Reish over in Pensacola, he looked at me and he says, I can just look at you and tell you're a type 1 diabetic. And I said, I'm going to pay $350, and all you had to do was just tell me that? He said, well, we're going to prove it. And so I went through all the testing and all the screening and all that stuff. And sure enough, it came back, you're a type 1 diabetic. Now, I went through 2 years of waiting. You see, folks, you know what I was doing? And I'll just be honest with you. I was just trusting the doctor. Well, I'll just turn this over to the doctor, and the doctor will show me what to do. I should have turned it over to the Lord. I should have turned it. And the Lord had to take me through this period of testing to bring me to the place where I start trusting Him. I have to trust Him. You need to trust Him about all matters of life in that regard. How easy it is to do religious things if other people are watching. Preaching, praying, attending church, reading the Bible, acts of kindness and charity. You know how easy it is if somebody's watching us to go over there and put your arm around somebody. Hey, brother, I'm praying for you. You know, looking that way. Or we'll pray some fantastic prayer. Maybe you're called upon to pray and you pray some fantastic prayer and it's the first one you prayed in about 2 weeks. You see, folks, it's not what people see. It's what God sees. That's what's important. Number two, this is how we often think. If the kids see me pray at meals, it will do them good. If my people see me fast, they may be inspired to fast. That's not my job as a pastor to inspire you to fast. All I do is preach God's Word. I don't have to come and announce to the church, I'm going on a 3-day fast. And I want you to pray with me that I won't pass out during that 3 days. Fasting for a diabetic can be a dangerous thing. You have to be careful. You have to regulate those kind of things. And there are often times whenever I go in for my blood testing that I have to fast for 12 hours. And I want to tell you something, it's not easy. It is not easy. I go and I drag myself in the door and I go get my blood and then I head out to go get me something to eat because it takes it out of you. But for the Christian, understand this. We're not doing it so that it will do some good for somebody else. Why are we doing it? So that it will do some good for us. That's a whole different mindset, is it not? That's a whole different mindset. As we fast, We're going into God's presence and we're seeking. We're not just skipping meals when we're fasting, by the way. We're seeking His face. We're using that time that we would normally be eating for His glory and seeking His face concerning the particular need that is in our heart. I want you to see thirdly, the danger is that all of our life starts to be justified and understood simply on a horizontal level rather than the vertical level with Christ. Whenever we fast to be seen of men, Christ is secondary. And He should be what? Primary. He should be primary. Well, we're going to conclude with this thought. In our society, in the majority of churchianity today, the horizontal is primary. Being seen of men. Making sure that we let people know, that we are doing something that's religious so that people think we're religious. But that's not at all what the Christian life is about, and especially this matter of fasting. It's between you and the Father in secret. Now, Lord willing, next time we're going to look at Christ's promise to those whose focus is on the Father. And I want you to see that in our text next time. We're going to look at verse 18. Twice the Father's name is mentioned here in verse 18. But unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This is a transaction of the Christian with the Father. It's not a Christian transacting something else with another Christian, although you may be seeking the Father's face about another Christian or maybe another situation that involves a Christian. But specifically, the transaction is between you, the believer, the child, with the Father concerning a specific need or situation that you want Him to undertake and administer His mercy and grace. You're serious about it. That's the purpose behind fasting. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, dear Lord, for the teaching of Your Word. Lord, we know that fasting is not something that is very popular these days, although many of the religions of the world practice it on a regular basis, for all the wrong reasons and with no result at all, except horizontal self-gratification. But for the child of God, there are times in our lives where we have to get serious with Thee. Maybe it's a wayward child. Maybe it's a dear relative that needs to come to Christ, and we just want to get serious before the Lord and seek His face. Maybe there's a particular physical need, Lord, that we just seek Your face concerning, desiring Your will to be performed and all. But just a serious transaction between the Christian and You, dear Father. We ask, dear Lord, that You would show us from Your Word tonight the importance of fasting, the understanding of the dangers associated with it. And dear Father, we pray that we might be people of the book, that we might seek in secret to get alone with Thee and have You meet our needs, to indicate that You are indeed our sufficiency in all matters of life. We ask now Your blessing upon the preaching of the Word tonight. We pray that You would encourage hearts this evening through what the Word of God has said. And we pray that You would challenge us, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.